Hi, my name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training, and this is the second in a two-part podcast on the challenges of budgeting in the public sector. And in the first part of this podcast, we looked at what I call the traditional approach to budgeting, this bottom-up approach, which tends to focus on departments and the department slice of the budget allocation that the organisation's been given. And that tends, in my opinion, to make an organisation lose focus. So if we've just got the HR department looking at its budget and being very inwardly focused on whether or not it's going to be able to keep the same level of staff as it had last year and be able to do the same level of travelling and buy the same level of stationery as last year, that's very inward and it's not strategic. It's not looking at the big picture. It's not looking at the aims of the organisation. So in this second part, I want to have a look at a strategic approach to budgeting and want to get you to think about how you could be more strategic in your approach. So we'll look at three different things here. And these three different things don't have to run together. They're just three different ideas and approaches to budgeting that you might use in the public sector. So first of all, I'm going to talk about strategy and then talk about looking at outputs and focusing your budget on outputs, using that as a start point. Then I'm going to have a look at zero-based budgeting. And lastly, I'm going to have a look at rolling budgets. So start with strategic role of budgeting. So an organisation starts with a strategy. Public sector organisation has a strategy, and the strategy will be to deliver the service that it's legally obliged to deliver. So the budgets, in theory, and this goes for any organisation actually, not just the public sector, the budgets in theory are there to implement the strategy of the organisation. The budget is there to break down the strategic plan into manageable chunks. As an organisation, you might have a three-year strategy in delivering your service, and the budget will break that down into 3 one-year chunks and then break each year down even further into 12 monthly chunks. And managers manage through budgetary control, and that budgetary control then ensures that the strategy is implemented. Now, a very useful modern way of actually breaking the strategy down into manageable ideas or chunks is the use of key performance indicators. So if you like, the process is, number one, decide what your strategy is. Number two, decide what those key performance indicators are. So what are the key things that will tell us whether our strategy is working or not? So let's think of an example of that. In a local authority, a local authority might have a strategy of reducing homelessness in its area. So what will be a key performance indicator to indicate whether that strategy is working? Well, the number of homeless people will be a KPI, a key performance indicator. Now, so just to recap, you create your strategy, then you break that down into manageable indicators, key performance indicators of whether you're being successful. And then that's where the budget fits in. The budget then is built around those key performance indicators and built around achieving those key performance indicators and therefore achieving the budget. Most accountants, when they do budgets, tend to be too involved in the detail of the process. So that what they tend to do, as we described in the first podcast, is just to get into the detail of departmental budgets, rather than taking a step back and thinking about what are we trying to achieve, what are the key performance indicators that we're going to report on, and how are we going to make sure that they're reflected in the budgets that we build. So we talked about your budget being built around your key performance indicators, and the key performance indicators are all there to ensure that you deliver the outputs of the organisation. So what you might do in building your budget is start by considering what services you are providing. What services is my organisation providing? You might be a local authority and you've got a range of different services, and you think about each of those different services and how you wanted to provide them. Second question you'd ask yourself is, at what level are you going to provide these services? What level are you going to provide these services? How many of these services are you going to provide? So in an organisation like the National Health Service, then you would be thinking about how many procedures, how many operations are you going to provide? The next question you might ask yourself is, are you going to provide certain services at all? At the strategic level, there may be some services, particularly in times of cost constraint, that you don't want to provide at all. So they're just cut completely from your budget. And the next question you might ask is, how are you going to provide these services? So if you are going to reduce them or increase them, probably reduce them in today's world of financial constraint, but if you are going to reduce them, how are you going to provide those services? Are you still going to provide them using the same approach you had last year? You may decide to outsource some of those services. And of course, if you're going to do that, then you're not going to want to rely on last year's budget as your start point for creating this year's budget. And what I've just described there, asking those questions, is a top-down or strategic approach. It's based on the strategy. The strategy informs the first question, which is what services are you going to provide? And then you go down from there so that you have a model of how much and what you're going to provide. And you then build the budget top-down based on that. So, of course, at the beginning of this two-part podcast, we started talking about what budgets were there for. And one of the things that we said budgets were there for was to communicate plans within our organisation and outside our organisation as well. But just focusing on communicating within our organisation for a moment, if we set budgets in this way with a top-down strategic approach, then we're able to communicate to the managers who work within the departments within our organisation what we're doing, what strategy we're carrying out, what level that we want them, their department to operate at within the year. And then, yes, they can still build those budgets based on that, but it's done with a much more open and communicative approach rather than just handing out the budget instructions on, which usually cover how to prepare a budget. We are actually telling them what we want them to deliver in that budget and what we want that delivery to cost. So a different approach, but still with many of the same mechanics that we've got traditionally. It's just a case of taking time to consider what that strategy is and how it's going to play out in the actual budget and communicating that to the budget managers early so that they have full awareness and we can get great quality budgets built. One of the other ideas on budgeting is that we might prepare a zero-based budget. And zero-based budgets are an old idea, actually originally created by Texas Instruments in the private sector, but in latter years, more associated with the public sector. It is an old idea, but it has been gaining more credibility over recent years in both the public sector and the private sector. And the idea of a zero-based budget is that you, if you like, start with a clean sheet of paper when you start to build your budget. So instead of saying, like you're doing an incremental budget, hey, what did we spend last year? What's the inflation rate? And then producing your budget for the next year that way, you actually say, well, okay, what is our department all about? What are we there to deliver? And what are the key resources that we need to deliver that? And then costing those out from the bottom up. So this is quite complementary to what I've been talking about with the outputs approach to budgeting, because your start point is asking yourself the question, what do we need to deliver? And zero-based budgeting is a way of doing that. One of the pitfalls of zero-based budgeting is often that it's very time-consuming. To start with a clean sheet of paper in every department will take some considerable time, but it can deliver really great results and does get rid of a lot of the inefficiencies that may have been built in over years in running particular departments. So basically, you start from a clean sheet of paper. You secondly look at the things you need to do in your department, consider the things that you would like to do as well. You then look at the cost of these activities. Zero-based budgeting is based on the activities that you're going to perform. You then prioritize those activities. So you say, you know, what's your most important activity, second most, third most, fourth most, and so on. And then when you have your allocated spending, you will then know which, if you haven't got enough allocated spending, you'll know which activities not to do, because you've already got a prioritized list of things. So if you've got a prioritized list of activities from 1 to 15 and you don't have enough money, in order to do all of those 15 activities, then you start with number 15 and get rid of activity number 15 because that's your least important priority. And then if you've still not got enough, you get rid of activity number 14 and so on until you can fit your activity level within the allocated spending that you've been given. So that's a zero-based budgeting approach. It may be useful in some departments that you have within your organisation. Remember, if you're going to use a technique like this, you don't have to use it dogmatically throughout every department. You can use it where it's appropriate. So zero-based budgeting is another approach that you might use in creating a great budget in the public sector. Finally, another idea that may be used in order to improve the quality of your budgets is a rolling budget. Now, when I mention rolling budgets, I'd be careful here in the public sector because one of the key criticisms of rolling budgets are that it's very easy for you to lose sight of your original budget and to diverge from that original budget and possibly even diverge from your strategy by using this approach. I just describe the approach to you. What you actually do with a rolling budget is you're updating your budget more frequently. So what we do in a traditional approach to budgeting is we create an annual budget each year. So one budget, and it's a fixed budget, and we try and stick to that budget. And we try and stick to that budget in a traditional budgeting approach, even if circumstances change massively throughout the year. So the downside of that is that the budget loses its accuracy and any comparison of the budget loses any credibility. A rolling budget will update more frequently. So what might happen if we use the 2012-2013 financial year is that we've got a budget from the beginning of the financial year from April through to the following March. What might then happen is we might do a set of management accounts at the end of April 2012. So we've got a month that we've already performed and we've still got 11 months worth of budget that we're looking at. What we might do at this stage is we might then create a budget for April 2013. So at the end of April 2012, we create a budget for April 2013. And what this will mean is we have a 12-month plan ahead of us still. So instead of our budget period getting shorter and shorter as we go through the year, we've constantly got a 12-month plan. If at the end of every period when we do our management accounts, we add another period to the end of our budget. So we've constantly got a 12-month plan. And what we also might do at the end of April 2012 is we might update the budget for May 2012 through to March 2013. So another advantage of doing this, if we decide to do all of that updating as well, is that we've then got an accurate budget that we're looking at. So we've not only got a 12-month budget, but it's very accurate because it's reflecting changes in conditions that have occurred. Now, I'm familiar with a couple of my private sector clients who are already doing this and finding it a great advantage. The problem with this is, of course, if you're a public sector organisation, you will have a limited amount of spending that you can actually perform, and you need to stick within that limited amount of spending. But as long as you're conscious of this, what your rolling budget will be doing for you is it will be updating where you need to spend money because of the changes in conditions. If you're a local authority, for example, you may have had a very clear plan of where your priorities lay for the following year, but if social conditions in your area have changed, then those priorities may need to be targeted differently, and they can be reflected within your rolling budget as long as that rolling budget sticks within the spending plans in total for the financial year ahead. So rolling budgets is another area that might improve your budgeting. It doesn't have to be used in conjunction with your outputs approach or your zero-based approach. It's just another tool that you might like to consider to help with the challenge of budgeting in the public sector in these times of cost constraint. Okay, that's enough for now. My name is Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training. Thanks very much for listening. I hope I've given you some good ideas to think about. Thank you and goodbye.